We referenced this a fair amount yesterday, and not shocking to anyone that's listened to this show for an extended period of time. We got off the rails. We got doing different things, and we basically just didn't get to it. But we're a week away from camp. We're less than a month away from the opener here. All the Leafs are in town. They're all fully vaccinated, which is something I think worthy of pointing out. It has nothing to do with the evaluation of the team, but sounds as if like 98% of the league is going to be fully vaxxed. And if you're not a fully vaxxed player or coach, you're really in for a potentially tough season in terms of hoops you have to jump through and everything that comes with the COVID protocols. But we figured this is probably an appropriate time to do a little bit of a snake draft based on the pressure within the organization. So players, coaches, management, they're all available to us. We flip the coin. Oh, Doug, you have the first pick. We're going to snake it. It goes O first, then Noodles, then myself, and then myself again for the first of the second round. Noodles and O will wrap it up. Two rounds, snake draft, pressure draft with the Maple Leafs. Oh, Doug, with the first pick, you are officially on the clock.
I'll go with Dubas slash management simply for two elements to this. The team hasn't won. I think one of the little snippets in that documentary that's coming out is him saying this team hasn't won in the playoffs, and they haven't won in the playoffs. And when you say, I would bet my career on these guys, that basically means you're under the gun and it's their time to shine and your time to shine, because if it doesn't work out, then we know what happens basically after that. So these guys got to get it done. And when you come out and say, I'd bet my career on these guys, they got to get it done. So those two things, this team that's been assembled, fantastic regular season players slash team, but they don't get it done in the playoffs, and they got to start.
Okay, Kyle Dubas with the first pick. I'd probably be taking Dubas and company as well.
Yeah, just based on the first pick. Well, you come back with the core. Like, that's what it is. No real massive changes. He believes in him. And like you said, he said he bet his career, and I'm interested to see that doc, if he does, you know, have some language or some things that maybe we don't expect. Mm-hmm. But he's a fiery guy, and he's going to have to.
He's
going to have to stand by. I think he'd be.
There'll
snapping,
be some snapping.
So.
I think. Yeah. Like, if the cameras are on him when they lose in Game 7, can you imagine what that video would look like? The content, or forget that, losing an OT in Game 5 and 6 against the Habs. All right, Noodles, you're on the clock with the second pick.
I struggled with this one, but I'm going to go with the goalies, the tandem. And the reason being is that Jack Campbell kind of had a breakout last year, but it wasn't as your, like, every night 65-game starter. There just wasn't enough games. So there's, for me, he still is in that show-me-prove-it mode. Is he going to be the guy? Now, they go and sign Mrazek, who I think is a very good goaltender too. But if you had your choice of one guy, you know, from a goaltending perspective, who's the best goalie out of Mrazek, Campbell, or Anderson? I still think it's Anderson. Mm-hmm. So these guys still have something to prove. So, you know, a lot of pressure on goaltending. It was real easy for Jack last year, tapping pads and winking at guys and, you know, during the play and all that. Great. But if he hits the ditch and Mrazek challenges him, we'll see how it unfolds. So I still think it's a little bit of an unknown, but they're both very good goaltenders.
And you go back to management or whatever, they selected that tandem as the guys to get it done. Therefore, the pressure is also intertwined with that selection.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the nature of the position, like you touched on, Noodles. I mean, that's what it comes down to more often than not. Do you have goaltending, and especially in a tight race in a tough division, where Vasilevsky's going to be there, and, you know, we'll see what Bobrovsky brings. We'll see how healthy Price is, but there's going to be some good goaltending within the division, within the conference. At least you're going to have it. You know, you got to believe the offense will be there, but the goaltending's got to match it for sure. So you got the goaltending tandem at number two. I am on the clock, and I'm snaking here, so I got two picks in a row. Maple Leaf pressure draft. I will go with the third pick of the first round being Mitch Marner because of the noise surrounding him all offseason. Right, like, he has become almost the mascot of the Habs collapse, of the playoff collapses, which is, I think, unfair because he's not alone. You know, there's other big dogs that are with him that didn't pull their weight. There are other reasons why things have not worked for them in the playoffs. But he has been the guy who has been the focal point of this. He has been the face of almost what went wrong against Montreal. And as a result, I think he's in the spotlight. They're all. He's always going to be in the spotlight. Matthews will always be there. Tavares will always be there. Feels like it's a brighter spotlight on Mitch Marner. And I'm intrigued to see how he reacts to it. I'm intrigued to see how he plays. I think he'll have a spectacular regular season. But maybe this pressure list is more about game one of the playoffs. You know, if and when the Leafs get there, Mitch Marner's got to have himself a rock star, consistent playoff performance where he's...
Rick Tocchet said it hazy. He's like, those guys, it's about 5, 6, 7. It's like when you get into those tight games in the playoffs, that's where, you know, Ovi finally broke through and Sid, and like that's where you got to get it done, man.
Yeah.
Games 5, 6, 7 in any series. It's like that's what it all comes down to. You talk about depth on teams and third and fourth lines. That's all great and everything. But difference makers, guys that are paid the most, that's why they are paid.
Absolutely. Game 7, 93, semifinals. Who was the best player on the ice at the Gardens?
Right.
99. You know, and he didn't have himself a great series. You know, Bob always tells us the story where he was writing. He said he looked like he had a piano on his back. He wasn't playing
Classic
well.
Classic comment.
He had a hat trick. He had 5 points in game 7. That's all that people remember. Gretzky showed up, and that's Wayne Gretzky. But the point being is, you know, your best players have got to close at the right times. And I think Mitch Marner is going to be at the forefront of that. All right, into round two here of the pressure draft within the Maple Leaf organization. I will take the head coach, Sheldon Keefe, who I think some people might respond to that pick and say, wait a minute, he's barely been here. Well, you know, he's been here for the better part of 2 years now, 2 years plus. Last year he had a full season. This year he will have a full season, a full camp. But this is also more about who went with the first pick, and that was Dubas. Keefe is directly aligned with Dubas, right?
Yeah.
Like directly aligned with Dubas. So they're all in it together. They're all in it in terms of the pressure, in terms of the performance, in terms of the expectation. Shanahan actually said in that article in The Sun that this Amazon piece will actually make Keefe shine that much more, you know, and how good of a young coach he is and his approach and his personality. And he's always been really good to us. All these guys have been good to us, and they come on the show and everything. And but I think Keefe has done a good job, but he needs to prove he's different than the previous coaches over 17 years who couldn't get the job done in the biggest moments, you know, and pushing the right buttons come playoff time. You got to get that power play cooking. It really cost them a lot down the stretch. So I'm going to go with the head coach. And players can be tough. Contracts can be tough to come and go. Coaches and management, you know, you get an owner that decides I'm doing something, those are the ones that are generally at the front of the line.
The one thing I noticed that there, Sheldon Keefe had a few pressers that, had I not known it was him, sounded like Babcock.
Yeah.
Like, which, you know, I know people didn't love Mike after, on his exit and all of that, but there were things that Mike said along the way.
Same themes.
Well, same themes, right? So, you know, you've got two coaches that are saying that. It obviously, you know, you have to throw it into the room, but Sheldon, to your point, Brian, is attached to the GM, and they have been for many years. So, you know, the pressure does fall on him to get these guys to play the way he wants them to. Right?
Pick number two of the second round. Noodles, you are back on the clock.
I believe, hold on. Oh, yeah, Morgan Riley. So it's a weird one for me because I love Morgan Riley. I think he's a great leader. I think he's, you know, he's going to be, if he's not on Team Canada, then he's having an off season. But I think he's right there, right? So contract year, you know, he's the head of the defense on the back end. You know, when he has a great season, he's a 60 to 70 point guy. Like, I just think there's so much at stake for him right now, and I just mentioned it. The Canadian Olympic team is a carrot, as well as trying to win with the Leafs. And
I put the pressure contract. More noodles with the Leafs, like the team pressure. I intertwine him with the leadership group and just getting it done. As far as his contract goes, he's either going to get paid here or someone else is going to pay him.
Oh, he's getting
like his
paid.
It's self-explanatory, his contract. It's going to happen. Whether the number's 8.5 or what the hell the number is, it's going to happen here or somewhere. I don't think he's sweating that because someone is giving him that money.
But hear me out. You're right, 100% right. But what I'm saying is if he wants to do it with the Leafs, and if he wants to, let's not forget, this is the longest standing tenured Leaf here.
Yep,
this guy's
seen it all.
He's seen and done some things and been through all of it. I think he wants to finish it off here too, right? So, you know, he's playing for himself. He's playing for the Leafs. He's playing for the family, everybody. I think he puts a lot of pressure on it. That's why I look at him. He's the face on the back end. He's the guy you rely on to stabilize, to step up, to be a great leader, all of that. So whether it's, you know, the contract's going to take care of itself, I think he puts pressure on himself. In turn, I see pressure on him to deliver.
Yeah.
Have a great season, to be on Team Canada and help this team get to the next level.
Been in the league for 8 years now. You know, Salute Gate, Morgan Rielly was on the ice. None of these other guys were. He's seen it all from the top to the bottom and everything else.
I love Morgan.
We're all big fans of Morgan.
Love that man.
Yeah. But, you know, there's pressure on a lot of these guys. All right, you have the final pick. There's a lot of options here. Who are you taking with the final pick of the second round and the final pick of the pressure draft here with the Maple Leafs?
I know he was injured in the playoffs, but the captain of the Leafs is always under pressure to get things done. And when John Tavares, Gord Miller, and Hazy B, you love talking about the Tavares contract and what it meant for this organization. But I think if you were a hockey person and you looked at the deal, you would have said, I hope something happens with John Tavares in the first 3 or 4 years of that deal, because you never know what the back end of it is going to look like. And I believe we're coming up on year 4, correct?
Yep.
So let's make some hay here, have a good season, try to get your 35 or 40 goals, get it done in the playoffs, because we see these guys at a certain age, and when they don't move that well after that age, it doesn't look good. So try to get it done now, and then all that pressure's off. So John Tavares is the last guy in the pressure draft.
That makes a lot of sense, and there's the elephant in the room is that Matthews did not go. In 6 picks, Austin Matthews, the best player on the team.
And quite frankly, I think that's ridiculous.
Well, why didn't you take him?
I don't know. I just, you guys should have. I don't know.
I should have maybe taken him.
Well, what are you talking about?
I don't know. I just,
instead of the goaltending, I should have put Matthews at 2.
I think one of us should have picked him somewhere. I don't know. We missed out. We should be ashamed of ourselves.
All right. Well, that's the Joe from the Bridge, Grappler Mullen pick is maybe Austin Matthews. Maybe it goes without saying. You know, as the best player on the team, as the face of the team.
It's a slam dunk.
Yeah, I mean, there's pressure top to bottom. There's a lot of people that are feeling it. They get it, and there are expectations here, and you're coming off, you know, what have you done for me lately type of scenario that went south and went south badly. Matthews, you know, could have gone any of these picks 1 through 6, but I think the fact that we got through 6 and then you have Matthews, that says a lot about where we're at right now, right?
Yeah.
Like if you go to Tampa, it's like the water boys going first overall, you know, Gatorade guys second. Like, there's nothing down there. Nothing down there. You go to, you know, like a bunch of teams that have had a lot of success. Islanders in the playoffs, Vegas in the playoffs. There's pressure, but it's not to this extent. And the fact that you can get through 6 guys and not even include the face of the organization says something about where the Leafs are at.